pleased.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
I may please the court. I'm John Pascal. I represent Walter Martinez in this matter. With the court's permission, I'd like to briefly first address the second argument I raised, the failure of the trial court to provide Mr. Martinez with any opportunity once he expressed the desire to withdraw his guilty plea.
Speak a little louder. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Any opportunity to proffer any reasons why he withdrew that guilty plea was summarily dismissed, and that was it. He was not given a fair and opportunity to give fair and just reasons.
Well, if the judge didn't cut him off or anything, then the attorney, who is one of the more experienced attorneys in the defense bar, didn't offer any reasons.
But that's true, Your Honor, but there was no basis for the judge's ruling. I mean, the appellant shouldn't bear the burden for the first counsel's failure to do that.
Well, that's a different question. But counsel said his client wanted to withdraw, gave no reason at all. He didn't, when the court said he was going to deny the motion, didn't say, but Your Honor, here's my reasons. He didn't give any reasons. That might be an argument about ineffectiveness, but it's which I guess is one of your arguments.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair to say that the district court cut him off and refused to allow him to give a reason. He didn't offer any reason. By the way, you haven't offered any reason here.
There was no reason below for me to offer. I couldn't come up with one at this point.
Well, we've said that, I mean, in order to get withdrawal, you have to assert a viable claim of innocence. And in a similar case, we said where the appellate brief, quote, doesn't include a single sentence declaring that the defendant is actually innocent or disclaiming his admission of guilt, he loses. I don't understand why that isn't exactly this case.
He was never given an opportunity to do that, Your Honor. That's the argument. The judge simply should ask why. That's all the district court judge had to do. The appellant was never said, well, why do you want to withdraw your plea? And he could have said a good reason, a silly reason.
Why couldn't he have given the reason immediately when at any point, the judge didn't in any way act preemptorily or anything.
Well, he said denied. That was it, and then they moved on. The appellant standing before a district court judge certainly might not have felt he had the ability to just interject without his attorney interjecting for him, or he could just interrupt the judge. He thought it was probably just over. I don't think he knew he had a right to express.
I don't think that's actually the way we practice law in the sentencing sentencing hearings in this court. Defense counsel frequently asks the judge for his indulgence to give a reason, frequently asks the judge to reconsider, frequently when the judge rules, come back and argue again. If you had a reason now, or if he had, in fact, he had the opportunity even afterwards, when he did file a request for a correction of the sentence with respect to the adjustment, he gave reasons. He didn't give any reasons to suggest that there should have been a withdrawal of the plea.
I just think the appellant is not the attorney. He should.
I understand.
The judge, I think, should have. I mean, I've handled thousands of cases across the street, and when once in a while this happens, the judge, my experience, always asks, well, why? Why do you want to withdraw? I mean, it's never been just a peremptory denial, and then you move on. And I think this case should be remanded back to district court so the reason could be ascertained and see if it's meritorious or not, Your Honor.
Okay. Any questions from the panel? Okay. Thank you. Do you want to reserve your time, or do you have another argument you made?
The other arguments are the other argument basically is the government in its allocution for the first time, raising its request to for an upward adjustment based on my client's alleged role of supervising five or more people. That was not addressed in the pre-sentence report or by the government prior to its allocution, denying my client's counsel the opportunity to prepare for that argument. It basically resulted in my client getting the highest, within the guideline range, but the highest possible sentence, four times, I believe, what was recommended in the pre-sentence report.
It's not as if he didn't have any idea this was on the government's mind, though, right? Hadn't he been indicted since then based on further drug dealing?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah.
The government was not.
Isn't the law now that when you come to a sentencing hearing, you better be prepared for everything?
Well, you prepare as best you can.
If you've been indicted for something, you probably know that that's going to be on the government's mind and the court's mind, right? So it's not. I mean, it's not as if this is a bolt out of the blue, completely unexpected, right?
Well. His sentencing counsel certainly stated that in his motion to correct the sentence.
At the sentencing, he didn't say anything about it. Didn't seem surprised at all. There's no objection at the time, right? And it all came later.
It came later in the motion, Your Honor. But it would seem that appellant was prejudiced by the fact that counsel was not given notice that the government was going to ask for the separate adjustment, which did result in a substantially greater sentence than he could have gotten without it. Denied him the benefit of the plea offer, parts of the plea offer, not all of it.
And are you relying for this on Irizarry and the federal rule?
Yes, some of the language in Irizarry, which basically says the district court. I also asked that the court should have granted a continuance when it was clear to appellants. Counsel was surprised that when surprise is prejudicial, a continuance should have been granted to allow counsel.
That's a different part of Irizarry, right? So there's two parts. The first part is whether you're covered by Rule 32H, and it seems completely clear from Irizarry that you're not, that the rule only applies to departures.
Yes, I had to concede that, Your Honor.
Okay. So then you're relying on the second part of Irizarry, which talks about what sound practice is.
Yes.
Which suggests the district court should consider granting a continuance. But then the court quotes the following quotation from Judge Boudin. In the normal case, a competent lawyer will anticipate most of what might occur at the sentencing hearing based on the trial, the pre-sentence report, the exchanges of the parties, the preparation of mitigation evidence, garden variety considerations of culpability, seriousness of the crime, nature of the conduct, so forth, should not generally come as a surprise to trial lawyers who prepared for sentencing. That's, I think, what Judge Griffith was referring to.
Yes, this involved alleged conduct that occurred after the plea, when my client had agreed to assist the government.
Right, but there was testimony about it. There was a hearing, there was testimony about that. The government proffers, I assume is correct, that the nature of the testimony was given to the defense counsel in advance. They knew what the witnesses would likely testify about, correct?
Yes. The motion to correct the sentence, the sentencing attorney did argue that they didn't have a proper opportunity to interview all the witnesses and to actually prepare for the arguments the government was going to make in its allocution.
When was the notice of the witnesses for the sentencing hearing given? Do you know how much before the sentencing hearing?
Your Honor, unfortunately, I don't have that information in front of me.
You want to say the rest of your time?
Yes, thank you.
Does the government have anything?
Good morning. Excuse me. May it please the Court, Uma Amalero for the United States. I'll begin with the motion to withdraw defendant's guilty plea, since appellant counsel began with that issue, unless the Court would like me to start with the other issue. The District Court did not abuse its discretion by denying appellant's motion to withdraw his guilty plea. Defense counsel provided no basis for that motion to the District Court, and the District Court was not obligated to inquire into the basis for that motion.
Why not? Why isn't the district court obligated to inquire into the basis for that motion?
The burden is on the defendant to demonstrate a basis for his motion to withdraw. The defense counsel provided no basis.
The motion to withdraw is made, and the judge says immediately, denied.
That's right, Your Honor, there's no evidence on the record that the district court cut off defense counsel. If defense counsel had a basis, he could have followed.
Denied means it's cut off, right?
No, the defense counsel could have offered an argument
after it was denied.
After it was denied, yes.
Motion for reconsideration in the hearing?
Have you tried to argue to the court after your motion was denied?
No, Your Honor, but
when the red light goes on, it's on. No.
Actually, not here.
No, not here. Yes.
In the Supreme Court, it is.
That's right.
There's no indication that the district court cut off defense counsel.
What does the word denied mean? I'd like to withdraw their guilty plea. Denied. What's the comeback to that?
Your Honor, if I could present a basis for the motion so the court could be informed as to why we're moving for withdrawal. Perhaps Your Honor would allow me to permit me to submit affidavits in support of this motion. We'd like a continuance so that I could determine the basis for my clients, whatever the note was that defendant passed to his counsel.
And isn't the likely response, what part of no don't you understand?
No, there's no basis for that, Your Honor. All that is in the record is that defendant passed his attorney a note, after which, we don't know the contents of that note. After reading the note, defense counsel said, my client would like to withdraw his guilty plea. And the district court said, that's denied. There was no basis in the record provided by defense counsel for the motion to withdraw.
Was there basis in the record for the court to make that decision, to deny the motion?
Based on what he knew, which was that there was no basis for the motion to withdraw. Yes, there was. Given that the absolute lack of foundation for the motion to withdraw, especially at that procedural point, 5 years after the defendant had pled guilty pursuant to a very thorough plea colloquy, the record does demonstrate that summary denial based on the motion that was before the court was appropriate. And if defense counsel believed that there was a more substantial basis for that motion, he could have briefed it. He could have submitted affidavits. He did none of those things. And as Your Honor pointed out, even now there's no basis for the motion to withdraw the guilty plea that's before this court. All appellant counsel has offered is suppositions as to what he might have argued had he been given the opportunity. But there's still no basis, even now, for a motion to withdraw. For those reasons, Your Honor, we submit that the district court committed no error in its denial. And we ask that the court affirm the judgment of the district court, excuse me, as to that. Turning to the notice issue, the district court committed no error when it imposed a leadership enhancement, notwithstanding the government's failure to notify defense counsel in advance of its intention to seek the enhancement. Nor did the district court abuse its discretion when it denied appellant's Rule 35 motion on the basis that the government had not provided notice. There is no law that requires the government to provide advance notice of enhancements it intends to seek prior to sentencing. And to the extent that appellant's counsel relies on the Supreme Court case Irizarry in his briefing, Irizarry is not on point. In fact, Irizarry stated that instead of imposing a formal notice requirement, what should happen is that if defense counsel or if either party is faced with something that comes up for the first time at sentencing and that that surprise is prejudicial, then the appropriate thing to do is ask for a continuance. Defense counsel did not ask for a continuance in this case. In fact, he appears to have been very prepared to meet the argument.
It is the case that the court indicated that sound practice would require the information be provided to the parties in advance. I think it is a little surprising that the Justice Department, particularly the U.S. Attorney's Office here, would have asked for a four-point adjustment without providing notice. I take it that is not the typical practice in the office, is it? There was a PSR in this case, right?
There was.
Pre-sentence report.
That's right.
The pre-sentence report did not recommend a four-point adjustment, correct?
Correct.
Government is given an opportunity to object to the pre-sentence report writer's calculation of the guidelines, correct?
Correct.
And the government did not object.
Correct.
So that would mean a defense counsel could go forward on the view that government thinks that the calculation by the pre-sentence report writer was correct. Correct? Otherwise, there would be an objection.
Well, the last part is not entirely correct. The pre-sentence report was prepared in 2008, which was sometime before the sentencing. Defense counsel was put on notice that additional conduct was coming in based on events that occurred after.
The adjustment based on information developed after the pre-sentence report, the request for the adjustment?
The enhancement actually was based on conduct that occurred in 2005, around the time of the conduct that, the charged conduct.
They weren't aware of it, though, were they?
I'm sorry?
They weren't aware of it. The government wasn't aware of that conduct at the time, were they?
At the time of the pre-sentence report?
Yeah. Where were they?
I don't know, Your Honor. The record does not make clear when.
Consult your counsel over there is making faces. You might ask. Take a moment, find out the fact about that. That's why we ask for trial counsel to be present.
Yes.
It seems like sometimes it's very helpful.
my co-counsel has informed me that the government became aware of conduct that constituted the breach of the plea agreement. However, at the time, the government was not willing to make that known because it was part of a large-scale conspiracy that we were actively investigating. So we could not object at that time.
So this does not reflect a new policy on the Department of on the part of the office to surprise counsel.
No, Your Honor. This was a slightly unusual case because of the two cases that were happening. The 2009 case was the government was investigating that case. It was a very large case, and the government was kind of moving with these two cases at the same time. And to Your Honor's point about advance notice, notwithstanding the fact that defense counsel claims to have been surprised by the government's position on the leadership enhancement, defense counsel was prepared to meet the argument. He argued that the defendant was a middleman and not a leader, and he argued that if the court imposed any leadership enhancement, it should be the two-point enhancement because of the relatively small nature of the enterprise as opposed to the four-level enhancement. So although it is true that government did not provide advance notice of its position on the leadership enhancement, the parties appear to have been fully prepared to meet that argument, which is the point of a notice requirement in the first place. Furthermore, defense counsel never asked for a continuance at any point. And even now in the appellate briefing, appellant has not made clear that any surprise was caused prejudice to him. He's not indicated how, if he had been given more notice, how he would have been able to defeat that enhancement, or whether he, in fact, would have been able to defeat that enhancement. Therefore, Your Honor, and furthermore, and just to the point of the continuance, because defense counsel...
You're about to have a social science experiment here because the light's going to go red in a second, so...
For those reasons, Your Honor, we ask that the court affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any time left for the defense counsel?
Just a minute. The government's counsel just briefly said that even now, proffer from the appellant has been given as to why he wanted to withdraw his guilty plea. I don't believe the appeal stage is the stage that would be appropriate to do that. It needs to be raised at the district court level so a record can be created that can be then reviewed by this court. I don't believe you introduce new evidence or new information during an appellate argument that hasn't been reviewed below. And also, I do believe in
the argument about that would be ineffective assistance or something else.
Well, just in general, you don't in an appeal or appellate argument, you don't introduce new evidence.
Right, but we don't just generally remand just because somebody says, well, we'd like to offer new evidence, but they don't tell us what the new evidence is?
Well,
we have to have some reason to remand the case.
Well, the reason would be that there was no opportunity given for that reason. It goes back to that original. And the other quick point I'd like to raise is that I did state in the brief response of what the government just said, that had the government provided notice of its intention to seek an enhancement or an upward adjustment, Appellant Sentencing Counsel could have been given the opportunity to properly prepare for the government's enhancement allocution and address the issue of whether the appellant actually exercised requisite control for such enhancement. So I think I did address that.
We actually have gone 34 seconds over the red light, so I guess we've proven that you can still talk even after time is up.
I'm not going to get zapped or anything.
All right. We'll take the case under submission. Mr. Pascal, you are appointed by the court to represent your client. We greatly appreciate your assistance in this matter.